several actions items to approve. All the commission approval have been discussed and approved by the Finance and Budget Committee. I will ask for a motion for approval for each item, but I'm not asking this meeting to make presentations. After approval of each motion, I will ask if you have questions, this meeting to answer for you. First, action item, accounts report, financial statements, WKYU TV and WKYU FM radio. Motion.
Second.
Okay. Questions on that? We'll move on. Accounts report.
We have to vote.
Oh, excuse me. Yes. All in favor, please.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Get all the help I can get here. Secondly, accounts report on application of agreed upon procedures NCAA compliance.
Thanks.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Questions? Thirdly, 2007-2008 second quarter statement of revenues and expenditures.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Early 2007-2008 state budget reductions.
Let me clarify this just to be sure that the board has so much discussed about state budget reductions and all that laid there too. This are the mostly non-recurring reductions necessary about this fiscal year. The editorial executive order to budget 3%. That's a two-step process. First, the division of 3% in the current fiscal year. And at that time, it's going to be 4-5 months after the year. To learn about it, because half a budget is about 10. This is the balance of the budget for the year ending June 30. We would not have received the 3% reduction of that budget and recurring money going forward into the next fiscal year. Obviously, in order to receive the second 3% of reduction that came about as a result of the passing of the state budget just a couple of weeks ago at the end of the General Assembly. So we now have a total of 6%. Approximately $5 million in budget reductions that we are fighting through right now and we'll be focusing on the next few weeks. And you will receive the FY08-09 budget at a call meeting in June, at which time you will also receive as an information item a list of those budget reductions that you will be asked to approve the budget and review a budget. That includes $5 million in less state and less fewer state appropriations. So I just wanted to let everybody understand this is pertaining to the finance committee. This is what you have today. This is not related to the recurring reductions that will be part of that 6% going into the next fiscal year.
We move.
Approval of tuition rates for 2008-2009. Please state that did not have enough to talk about at the last meeting. The Budget and Finance Committee has not moved on that. I think it would be appropriate enough to maybe have some conversation on approval of tuition rates for 2008-2009.
Well, no, we did have this because we had to get to the end of the General Assembly to suggest what our budget reduction was going to be, which had not going to occur at the finance committee last session. And once the General Assembly completed this process, as we knew we were going to have 6% cut, then we've been about this work for several months, trying to weigh our options and possibilities, and finally we settled on a 9%, actually it's right at 8.9%, but round off the 9% number. And the Administrative Council, working with our deans and others across campus, particularly with Dr. Burke and academic affairs, really thought through how best to continue our progress, cover fixed cost increases, and to the extent possible, keep the tuition setting and the revenue spending process from tuition separate from the budget reduction process. General Assembly mandated some budget reductions, held the line on salary increases for state employees, and made some conscious decisions not to generate additional revenues to the state. We simply must be prudent in not only a tuition increase, but what we spend it on. Because I think we would have considerable discussion were we simply to raise tuition to offset our budget cuts. And I believe that's what the General Assembly intended in their action with the state budget. However, if we raise tuition and obviously cover necessary fixed cost increases and invest in strategic initiatives that allow the state agenda and our agenda to move forward, then I think we are in good shape from an environment beyond our own hands. So we worked hard to get to this point, and frankly, we made some tough decisions to eliminate some things that we probably needed to do, wanted to do, but couldn't do if we were going to keep a tuition increase at a reasonable level. And we worked hard to keep it in single digits at the 9% level. I could not, in good conscience, bring you a tuition recommendation without clearly spelling out precisely what that revenue would be used to do. That's why you have not only a list of the allocations, budget allocations from tuition revenue, but you also have some paragraphs that describe some of the strategic initiatives, most of them are self-explanatory, I think. But you have some descriptions of those strategic initiatives in the event that you would like further detail. And obviously, Dan or I or the men in the room can elaborate on these items. So it is with a good deal of stress and discomfort that we would bring to you a 9% tuition increase, but it is a necessary step in order for us to continue to make progress as an institution, focused to the extent possible on academic quality, open money to scholarships that help us attract students to sustain the environment that we intend for our university, and to be true to our strategic plan, that it's still a strategic plan in good times or bad times. Still, some priorities remain. Those priorities don't change because your financial circumstances change. So that's the recommendation. We did have two campus forums last week, one for faculty and staff and one for students. Most pleased with the involvement and participation among our faculty and staff in that forum last Thursday at 1, and then at 2 o'clock we did have a smaller number of students participating, but I think it was an important opportunity to talk to you at that forum for our students. So lots have been discussed about tuition both here and across the state, and this recommendation is consistent with the institutions across the state, a little higher than a couple, in the range of most, lower than one, but it is fairly consistent with state and higher education. And I still believe we are priced competitively in our market. A few years ago, we were well below market. We had a large time tuition. We exercised that aggressively. That no longer exists. Kentucky, our tuition levels are below UK and UofL, slightly above Northern, and range from $100 to $200 above the other comprehensive institutions in the state. So I feel like we're priced prudently and where we should be. And you may want to know, and again, I can circulate information, and I have it in the like to see it, but I think two data sets become very important in this discussion. One, our applicant pool, and the data is here, our applicant pool as of April 1, total increase of 9.8%, 604 students up in total admitted, and 8.1% increase in total applicants, 508. And I can break that down by graduate students, by minority applications, and by summer school enrollments, which show similar increases. And then as of last week, in fact, as of April 19, compared to the same day last year, we are up 220 students participating in our academic transitions program, which is our orientation and registration program. Students extra credit to their classes for next fall, we're up by 220. And if we just hold the same going forward as we did last year, then we're going to be up a couple hundred backlog degrees in Russian. And I expect those numbers will continue to increase as we complete. We're about halfway through the registration process for next fall's freshman class. So all indications are up. Our degree productivity is up. Enrollment strong. Applicant pool is up. All of our measurables that in effect are the pulse of what we have to rebound as an institution in terms of financial and just overall stability, because it all is about students. And it's all about having a student body that you can be proud of and continue to allow you to do the very kind of things we saw from the students earlier in the agenda. So, from all measures, we are strong, and I think the application of this tuition revenue allows us to sustain a high level of stability and performance in our student body. Is it a hardship on some students? You bet. We have a lot of students on student loans. There's some uncertainty in the lending industry. Yes, Cindy Burnett, Director of Financial Aid, agreed to me yesterday about our state affairs in the lending industry, not just here, but in our state and across the nation. Students will have loan options going forward. Those options may be a bit different than what has historically been the case through state agencies. Our students will have loan lending options, and I'm impressed with what our financial aid office is doing to be in a state of readiness for students who need loans to pursue their higher education here. So a lot of specifics, and I'd be glad to answer questions and go into as much detail as you'd like about anything.
Gary, I'd like to say that the institution has done a marvelous job in dealing with
Gary's resources.
I believe, though, that this will increase needs some transparency. I really think what it really is tax. The General Assembly failed to act on revenue-producing ideas, including casino gaming, including cigarette tax. And it's unfortunate that now they're placing the burden, and they may not have a choice, but placing that burden on hardworking Kentucky families that are trying to better themselves and better their children. And we talk here in Kentucky all the time about explaining to high school kids the benefit of a college degree. We go out of our way with the most high school education. We keep telling them, go to college if it's affordable. Western's one of the best examples. He's done a marvelous job. But what I don't like is, why do we want to give the General Assembly an easy way out? Why do we want to simply say, okay, don't take any action. Let's go ahead and pass on the tax to a selected small group of people, those people that are trying to make Kentucky a better state. And I don't like it. I think the board should consider not increasing the tuition at this time. Instead, asking the governor to call a special session, work with the General Assembly, raise the dollars and dedicate it to universities, post-secondary education. I think someone should do that. Otherwise, if we don't, time and time again, we'll have to bear the burden of this unfortunate situation. But again, I want you to understand, I know you're in a tight spot. I know you've done everything possible, and I'm probably not making it any easier for you. But you know, whether I'm here in a couple of years or not, doesn't make any difference. I went to Western, and I know it was a long time ago, and I was the vice president as well. My daughter went to Western. My goodness, when I went here and graduated in 1970, the tuition was $120 a semester. Now we're getting, what, upwards of close to $4,000? I just think it's wrong. And I know you have a difficult job to do. But I think that someone else should take this burden instead of putting it on the backs of these parents. And as you know, I work with the establishment of the Parents Council. I've met a lot of people in that, and they have struggled to keep their kids in school. And I feel bad for them. And I think this is just a way that the General Assembly can say, look, we didn't pass any revenue, but we don't need to. We just put it on the backs of the kids going to universities. That's just wrong. I especially think it's wrong at the junior college level, the community colleges. It looks like KCTCS is asking for a 13% increase. Now, I don't even know right now if our increase would even extend to our junior college.
Our community college is one of our undergraduate colleges.
Yeah, and I think and that's unfortunate because those people probably have to go to a community college because they have to stay home. They have to live at home. They don't have the funds to go away to college like some of us were fortunate enough to do. So for all those reasons, I mean, can you wait before I make any kind of motions? Can you wait? And I just read the Courier this morning. And I think the editorial page is calling on the governor to call a special session, get the General Assembly to take some action. And can you wait before we take this action of increasing tuition to see if the governor is going to take that kind of action?
Let me try to respond to that, and I understand exactly your line of thought, and believe this has been a tough legislative process. And not just tough on us, it has been tough on the General Assembly, and the General Assembly is split down the middle on revenues or not, or if they're in favor of revenues, what they might be, and they went through the grueling process, probably there every step of the way with them. And we had to fight hard to go from a situation in early January where we already received a 3% cut, and the original budget proposal called for a 12% additional reduction. We had to fight hard to get that down to an additional 3%. And some would say that was a victory for higher education, but I understand that 3% cut is a whole lot better than 12%, and we've already received 3, so 6 better than 15 is the reality. On the other hand, it still is a significant reduction, and in the absence of revenues, we have no choice but to follow the will of the state in that regard. We're 60 days from the start of the new fiscal year. Andy and her staff in financial affairs are absolutely pressed to their backs to the wall with their budget together for next year. We've got how long I say around there were 4,000 freshmen coming in, arriving in August. We've got 2,200 employees. We've got a total of what will be somewhere between 19,500 and 20,000 students next fall. We cannot wait to see if a special session is called, then wait to see if they do anything, then wait to see if we get any part of what they do before we prepare for the coming year. We just cannot. It is a $320 million budget that we still have to take $5 million out of. The $200 million over which we say grace, that's unrestricted tuition and state appropriation. $120 million of that budget is restricted by nature of the revenue source. So our budget can only be taken from a portion of our overall budget. I don't want to give you all a budget sermon there, but you understand how budget is structured. cannot, we don't know where the special session will be called. We don't know what the subject of it will be, if the word is called. We don't know what the outcome of that would be. We just, there's no way we can predict that, and there's no way we can make any assumptions in that regard. Yes, I would hope that the state would identify revenue streams of higher education would be a cancer discipline in the distribution of those revenues in order to avoid higher tuition increases. But remember, this board approved a strategic plan last fall that even the best of times pursuing a higher ed funding model that called for $180 million in increased state appropriations going into the coming general session. We didn't learn until December 21 that, oh, by the way, you can forget that budget request because you're going to need to cut your budget. And then we learned again 2 weeks later on January 5, oh, by the way, it's going to be a lot more than that. So not only did we not get our designated share of that revenue increase that we were pursuing in the higher education community, which in our case was about $6.5 million in base funding and some projects. Not only did we not get that, but we're losing $5 million of our total $85 million share appropriation now down to 8. So that's about an $11.5 million swing in a negative direction for this campus. And 6% was a reasonable tuition increase in good times just 6 months ago. So what I'm coming to you now is a recommendation for 9% in the worst of times. That's only, that's a 3% if you're dealing in percentages. 100 or so dollars swing given the climate that we're in 6 months ago and the climate that we're in right now. And I'm not saying that 9% is a good thing at all. But we are where we are, and I think it would be a mistake for us to sit tight and hope that something good happens when we've got a huge challenge just to get a budget together to present to you in June, and we can implement by July 1. And we can't go forward without a budget. We're too complex, there's too many things. We got to get financial aid letters out. We're way behind getting financial aid letters out now. Scholarship letters, recruiting students on scholarship. A huge part of this budget is devoted to additional scholarships. Well, students are making decisions right now, and we're behind in contact. We can't sit tight and build the kind of freshman class that we have to build to ensure financial stability in our budget. So, I mean, I'm giving you a long answer to your question, but you're asking a very serious and a very complex question that deserves as a thoughtful an answer as I can give.
Like I said, you've been put into a terrible situation, and I don't deny that one bit. It's just that for the General Assembly, just to forget that there are these other revenue sources available, be it gaming or be it cigarette tax, and simply let the universities out there put this increase on the backs of families. It doesn't make sense to me. For that reason, I don't.
But all the state government is suffering, and frankly, because we did reduce our cut, the level of our cut, other state agencies are getting hit even harder than higher ed. A lot of social services across the state, and a lot of people are suffering in this budget, in this economy, and it's not getting better day to day. And you're absolutely right, but I don't want anyone to think that higher ed is taking the harshest hit on this. We're taking a harsh hit, but not as harsh as some across state government, given the outcome of the budget process. Robin, fair enough?
Robin, I mean, Larry, what you said is no one would probably disagree, but we could end up winning the battle and losing the war or something like that. But let me go down the line.
Or we win the battle. Yeah, right?
Jenny has a question about that.
Well, I mean, and correct me if I'm wrong, and I appreciate your concerns, but I think that the key thing you're saying is that we're not using these tuition increases to offset our budget cuts. We're using these tuition increases towards our strategic plan. And I think that perhaps the best way to approach it would be not the General Assembly, because as far as I'm concerned with the time constraints and the fact that I feel like you can't talk on them anyway, I don't think that's a good way to go. I think the question to ask with regards to the tuition is what we want to actually allocate that money toward. Is that a priority at this time? You know, as I said, these increases aren't going towards the cut. It's going towards our strategic plan. So I appreciate your line of thinking, and I'm with you on it, but I think it needs to be geared towards, are these allocations, the budget allocations, is that, are those right? Are those our priorities? So I think we need to focus on it in that direction.
Well, I just want to say, I agree with Larry to a certain extent, and you're saying find revenue streams between casinos or smoking people.
Well, this is just another question. What the state and the whole country needs to realize that taxes are not a dirty word. If you want certain services, you have to accept responsibility. I'm a woman at home, says I don't mind paying taxes because you buy civilization with it. And I think that is what this state has got to realize. Everybody has to step up. Don't identify certain groups. We all have to accept their responsibility. I find it sad we have to look for this money from students. But until everyone steps up to the plate, says, realize that we're in a democracy, we're all going to work together. The country is so far behind education now, and we're just going to sort of fall behind. But it's something that everybody has to accept responsibility on. Just not the smokers, just not the gamblers, just not the students.
Question for the next year. Are we splitting our discussion of the tuition increase and the strategic initiative in Mitch Lott and the budget allocations? Are we splitting our discussion into two parts?
I don't have a question.
Okay, great. Yes, it's obviously the fact of tax. It's incredibly unfortunate. And I agree in part with what my colleague Rachel said about the concern of raising tuition that could limit access to students going forward on strategic initiatives. But I want to bring up perspectives that have not yet come to light. As representative of 800 odd faculty on this campus, my colleagues are about as down as I've ever seen them. And this is my third budget cut. I came here in 93, so I'm no neophyte to budget cuts.
I have made our sixth in the last 9 years.
It's our third big. Yeah, and that's the way I view it, actually. It's a really big catastrophic one. And I see 93.
Right.
Self-insurance crisis in 2000. That's the way I look at it. I reluctantly will have to vote for this tuition increase. I view it as a necessary evil. I want to make a few points about the real losses here to students and to faculty. Tuition increase is going to go towards strategic initiatives, which do not offset the fact that we're not moving forward. Those of you who've been on the board for a while probably remember the It's Academics Terms initiative of Dr. Merch 5 6 years ago. The board wisely appropriated money to increase hiring of new faculty, and we did, and we hired some great people. But I have to tell you that we're moving backwards. Not only are we not retaining some of these faculty, I am told that resignations are a little higher, a lot higher than they usually are. Certainly more resignations than retirements. That's not particularly good news. We have lost faculty lines in every college, and lost means they have gone away. They do not exist anymore. The slash salary has been taken back in order to meet the needs of the budget cuts. I have specific information about two colleges. Our College of Arts and Letters, largest undergraduate college, 11 departments. 6 lines are gone, and many of those are things that would address, if they still existed, our leading university international reach. We've lost lines in East Asian religion, Islamic world, Chinese language. These are things that are not going to exist. Lines in the three of the largest student credit hour producing departments, English, history, communication. That absolutely impacts student learning, student ability to complete their degrees, and have access to the broadest curriculum possible to make our students competitive in global society. That's a real loss, and this strategic initiative does not address that loss. We will have to address it as a board at a later time. College of Education and Behavioral Sciences also lost 6 lines. Our history as Teachers College, we're very proud of what we do for teachers and teacher education in this Commonwealth. College of Education and Behavioral Sciences has also lost at least 10, maybe more, graduate assistantships because those were funded with lapsed salary money. Lapsed salary, of course, is what we've used to get rid of and take care of this first 3% budget cut. That is the real hit to our students in the graduate program and makes us less competitive. There are other points I could address and might be appropriate elsewhere. Compensation, salary compression for faculty that makes us less competitive, and you know, general caution about how we spend in the future. But bottom line, we have no choice but to pass this budget, this tuition increase, however much we dislike it. But we also have to be mindful of the real losses that will have to be addressed in the next budget cycle so that we don't lose more of our faculty and have fewer opportunities for our students.
Hey, you're absolutely right, and you're absolutely right on target. And we've not made the final decision. We've not made any decisions on the second 3% reduction yet. The unfortunate reality is the first 3% we went to central sources heavily, reserve fund, university contingency, and really kept it to a minimum in terms of the divisions and our specific academic and administrative student life units. Unfortunately, the second 3% we won't have that opportunity to go to those central sources because they're by and large used up. So you are absolutely right. No decision has been made on the second 3% yet. And I'm going to get into that next week in a very serious way. I have some sense of the divisions I recommend going. I'm going to accept some of that. I'm not going to accept some of that. But I can't sit here and tell you now how that budget reduction is going to take place. And it is impossible to view a 9% increase in this spending plan for that revenue. In fact, in the absence of that, as much as we want to not raise tuition to offset a budget cut, we're not doing that. But we recovered well from the reductions of 2004 when our faculty student ratio went from 16 to almost 20. In the wake of that 2004, over $5 million in reductions. We got it now down to about 17. It's already up to about 18. You're right, that is inching back up. And we will have to work hard in the years ahead to get that back down at a reasonable level. So all those factors, you're exactly right. You did raise one point that I would like to make before because I cannot fail to do so. Because it is probably the most difficult part of this process. And as Ann and others on the Administrative Council will tell you, I held out as long as I could to get a higher faculty and staff salary increase. And when the General Assembly approved only 1% salary increase for all state employees, including teachers, I guess, right? That really put us in a position where not only did we not have the revenue to do much more, but we would have a hard time justifying much more, even if we could, if we had a higher tuition increase than what we're doing as it is. So therefore, faced with the option of only being able to afford a 1% increase, we looked at exactly that cost of that round number that's about $1.2 million. And there's only an $84,000 difference between a 1% salary increase to all employees and a $500 fixed cost increase to all employees in their base salary. And it's my recommendation as part of this tuition revenue to go with $500 per employee because of this difficult economy. And I filled up my car this morning, as many of you may have as well, to get here. It is a tough world out there right now. And now that's to the base, so that's a recurring salary increase. But that helps employees, and I don't know if helps is a relative term, that helps employees at the low end of the salary scale proportionately more than employees at the upper end of the salary scale. And in this budget, with our options, I'm most interested in helping those who need it the most to the extent possible. That's why we're going with a $500 per employee rather than a 1% per employee. So I failed to mention that one element in here that I think is important for this board.
And Dr. Ransdell, on behalf of the staff, I mean, we really do appreciate it. I think that is it will benefit those at the lowest end much more than a 1% would have.
Well, thank you. I And I know appreciate is a relative term, too. I trust you appreciate the thought behind it, but you sure like to have more.
Absolutely.
Thanks to you all for all your comments. Okay.
Wonderful job. In a tough time, I understand that completely. And I appreciate the work that everyone at the university and all that has done. I agree with everyone that spoke today to an extent. I would leave today with a heavy heart because I did not speak on behalf of students. Myself as one when I was a school year. My education was in 2000. Was brought up at the school. Has killed me where they are today. I fear what this means when a student graduates as much as I do what it does when they come in as a freshman, what they face. I know what I face. I thought that was enormous. It's nothing today is what they face. At the risk of sounding like my husband, a politician, I think Frankfurt has their priorities horribly wrong. Education is the foundation for everything that this state stands for. Economic development will not prosper in the state if we do not educate. And as Forrest said, we're so far behind now, we're only going to get farther behind. As a soccer mom, it breaks my heart to cut a soccer program, as I'm sure it does Forrest. But I understand that everybody has to take the hit. Academics are taking their hits, and I can swallow that. I've had a lot of people ask me if you can stand up for soccer, and I said, to the extent that I can. My term's on the board. I challenge this board in the future to work as hard as you can to reverse the cycle.
I have one comment. I have a concern about the low income and African Americans that we are trying to increase the enrollment here in Washington. And with tuition going up and the Pell Grant probably not as much, it's still going to leave a lot of our students with a gap to fill economically. And a lot of them are not going to be able to afford that. And therefore, they still will be denied enrollment and education and what you're telling us about tuition. And it has been our aim to make sure that all, especially Kentuckians, that want an education will be able to receive an education from Western Kentucky University. And at this rate, it's going to be difficult for them to qualify and to be able to enroll. And that's what I'm saying.
Well, Cindy's here, and Cindy, you may want to speak about maybe not for the extent of the hour we spent yesterday on it, but then you're right. The good news is that our minority admissions as of April 1 are up 28.3% over 1 year ago. That's 214 over 971 over 757 same day last year, and the total applicants is up 24.1%. So they're coming. We're going to do the best we can to serve them. Some of them will have to take loans. Some of them will struggle and fight. We're going to do the best we can to retain and graduate them. But the good news is we've become the destination point for not only the state's best students because of our honors college and the Academy for Math and Science, and I can go on and on about that. We've also become the destination point for minority students in Kentucky. And both of those are good things, and yes, we're absolutely challenged to ensure that they have the financial capacity to finish.
It will not bode well for us if we bring them in and then they're not able to stay.
I agree. Cindy, any particular thoughts on...
Just to follow up with a little reassurance. There are a lot of things going on with the state of the credit industry and regulatory changes that is kind of changing the face of the student loan industry right now. But as... financial aid director here and also others I know across the state are committed to doing all we can to find those resources for the students. I don't think the bottom has fallen out yet. Unfortunately, a lot of lenders are having to review their benefits that they offer to students, and some of those benefits are being eliminated. I don't want to say they're insignificant. They're probably not significant in the big scheme things, but we will do all we can to try to fill that gap for students, whether it be loans as a last resort. That is an option that some students unfortunately have to make that decision to get a loan in order to pursue their higher education. But our state funding right now is intact. All of our state grant and scholarship programs are still intact as far as we know. So we're hoping that gap will not be as large as perceived. But we're doing all we can to work with those students and help them in that manner.
Contrary to the news media, there's money to
My original question was still, I think to this one point that you're tracking on the debt.
Oh, yes. Every student, every penny, enough, you know, I wouldn't expect Cindy to recite that from memory, but we can prepare a report for you for the next meeting if you'd like to know.
I really would like to see that. I think that's what's so telling a lot about us, that, you know, maybe we can get through, but then you graduate and then you're
right. We have no jobs, then they have no
I will say, this the last time that we did a full-fledged analysis, that as a state in general, we were pretty much below the average graduating debt of a student. And as a school within the state, public four-year, we were lower as well. And what that says is, traditionally, our state has done a good job with the state resources that help fill in that gap as well. And that last analysis was probably about a year and a half ago that we did a full-fledged.
We probably only have 10% of our students that are on no scholarship or no financial aid that are paying their way. Well, probably 50% are getting financial aid or scholarships of some type, and I'm going to say 75% are in some type of loan circumstance.
Yeah, about 92% of all of our students receive some type of assistance, and close to 50%, 48% was last academic year was in the source of loans. And that includes parent loans.
What is it? It is. Yeah.
Of what all of you all see, what it's worth, I correct, but I like what the doc said the most. What she said. If we don't keep education out front, it doesn't matter about all the other part. You're right on. That is correct. Before we go forward and ask for a motion, Robin is. I believe that I'm a real world type person. I like what Jim Johnson said earlier about what those kids were learning in the real world. And Robin's been in the real world. She's been up at Frankfurt. Did you have some comments? We've got to deal with it, whether we like it or not.
Yeah, I can bring a good dose of reality back to Bowling Green. Actually, I will do a legislative report and the president's report a little later. If it's okay, I'll just reserve comment until then.
Very good. Yes?
If I may just make one more comment, and I'm not exactly sure where we are in the voluntary process. I don't know. Has this even been... This
there has been a
motion. Okay. And ironically... I think I'm a little bit more in favor of the tuition increase than a lot of people, and I think it's because I'm a very business-oriented person, and I understand reinvesting back in the university. And I literally went through all of the allocations with a fine-tooth comb and considered their priority. Is it worth it? I'm not going to be here next year, but I understand the implications of the tuition increase. And I just wanted to put it on record that I understand the increase. I agree with what President Rainville is saying, and I agree with Patty in saying that it's necessary evil. But what I want to go on the record saying is that the only thing I could really find on the allocations list that I don't necessarily agree with is the $370,000 allocation to the Honors College. And as a representative of 19,000 students, I can't. Despite all my business sense, I can't support taxing every student $20 to back into a program that only benefits 900 students. And I spoke with Gary on the phone about this the other day, and we talked about how if you take $370,000 and you divide it by 19,000, it's $20 a student. If we didn't allocate that money, then it would only be an 8.2% increase. And it's the details like that, it's the going through and prioritizing that I really wanted to do. And that $370,000 only goes to the benefit in the short term for the 900 students involved in the Honors College. And I don't understand why at this time, when we're questioning a 9% tuition increase, we would vote to allocate that much money to a selective program. I understand that not every student study abroad, not every student goes to the Elizabethtown Community College, but every student has the opportunity. And I'm not saying that the Honors College is a bad thing and that we shouldn't invest it in the future, but how can I right now say that it is okay to charge every student $20 so that 900 students get the three new positions we're creating when faculty lines are being cut? And I just wanted to go on the record saying that I think we really need to be careful investing in a selective program right now when every student is footing the bill.
Jenny and I did talk about that, and I understand exactly where she is. The rationale for building an honors college in last summer created the only honors college that exists on a public university campus in Kentucky. And we are unique in Kentucky in that regard. There is no other honors college, truly independent honors college, on a public university campus. That is a primary focus of our strategic plan and building the intellectual capital of our campus. In my opinion, the entire campus is elevated by the strength of the Honors College and the students that come to the Honors College for the very reason that we're having to invest much more money in the spending plan for scholarships is because more better students want to be here. More government scholars are coming. The Academy students are coming out wanting to stay here. We have become the destination point for the gifted and talented across Kentucky. And the Honors College is the primary magnet for them. Everybody wins in that equation, whether you're in the Honors College or not. But as I told the faculty and staff and students last week, that's the difficult juxtaposition of where we are right now. We're investing money here in order to do strategic things while we're cutting money over here that are in direct conflict with that very financial circumstance. And we're having to eliminate some programs, and we're going to eliminate some positions, administrative and academic. While we've got a construction project going on, pick half a dozen across campus. How do you reconcile that? Well, this is the complex nature of our budget. And there are some things that we put in motion long before we learned we were cutting our budget that must stay in motion because you just can't shut them off because you're contractually bound. We're buying computers the same time we're cutting the IT budget. Yeah, because those computer orders were placed last fall, last summer, and they're coming in this year. So this budget is filled with irony. And yes, the Honors College only serves, it'll be about 900 students this year, it'll be 1,200 after another year, if you were bringing in 300 students a year to the Honors College. And yes, most things on here only affect a few students. Most things on, however, all students would have the chance to do if they would choose to do so. The Honors College is the more selective. You have to have a certain academic record to be in the Honors College. But we are a university of higher learning, in my opinion. That is a fundamental opportunity for us to emerge as an institution in the single quickest, most profound way to become a leading American university. We can't do it without an Honors College. Well, we can't do it in our generation without an Honors College. With an Honors College, we have a chance. So that's the rationale for that continuing investment in the Honors College. That's the reason why we started.
Been a lot of discussion. Do we have a motion to accept the tuition?
No, but I'll make your motion. My motion would be I'll move to approve a tuition increase of 6% for Gary Community, along with a request that the Board of Regents send a petition to the Governor and the General Assembly to find additional sources of revenue and to dedicate additional sources of revenue to post-secondary education.
Okay, we have a motion to that effect. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Okay. This is to Larry's motion you're making, right?
This is to Larry's motion,
yes.
Now, we've got a motion and a second, and we'll need a majority for that to carry. All those in favor of that motion, please raise your hand. Dies without a majority.
I move to accept the motion that the President made. Could recommend,
I'm sorry. A motion to accept the motion of a 9% increase in tuition. Do I have a second to that motion?
A second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor, raise your hand, please. That motion carries. You got the numbers?
Yes.
All right.
You need to vote against it. You need to allow people who want to vote against it.
Well, those opposed to that.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much.
That completes
the. I realize that this is not